night. What a playoffs this year for LeBron James. Another game winner, his second of this postseason. And on that call was our very good friend, the one, the only, Mr. Adam Amin. What, man, what a run you're on, and great job once again. Fantastic call on the buzzer beater on Saturday night.
Dude, do I have to credit you with this based on the fact that you and I had dinner on Saturday, on Friday night? Like, is it, like, did you leave something for me? Did you leave a little bit of magic in my backpack or something like that? Do I have to credit you for this?
Absolutely, you do. Yes. Hey, listen, man. Good things happen when you and I get to hang out. You know that.
Absolutely. No, it was tremendous, man. I don't. It's just, this is what you hope for. You hope to show up and watch chaos ensue, and that's what we've had. And not only in these playoffs. Or not only in this series, but in these playoffs, especially watching what LeBron's done with the game winners and the multiple 40-point games and the incredible skill set he's shown up, all of these things. It's been something else to watch, man.
Where'd you guys eat on Friday? Like, give me the rundown. What was for dinner?
I hope I treated Dusty well. We went to RPM Italian, one of my favorite Italian spots in the River North area of Chicago. A little more newer restaurants, I would say, a little more trendy places. But this is Juliana Rancic, who does either E! Or the Food Network or whatever. Like, her and her husband own like a chain of these things in Chicago. It's like RPM Italian, RPM Steak. So we went to the Italian joint. Excellent carpaccio, which for me is one of the most important things. Very good meatballs. I think Dusty had the swordfish. I had the bucatini. The desserts were outstanding. So, I a good bottle of wine. That's what we're gunning for. A good bottle of wine, a good meal, catching up with my dude, and we had a great time. I hope I'm speaking for him as well.
It was a 10, Marcus. It was fantastic. And it was a very trendy place. We had to have a late dinner, but the food was fantastic. The ambiance was great. And, he nailed the nice bottle of wine. So, it was a 10. A 10.
And a nice ripasso, for those of you curious. A nice ripasso is always good with an Italian meal, especially if you're going for a little bit of pasta. You want a little bit of the spice in the wine to make sure it complements what you're eating.
What is going on with the Raptors? They have disintegrated in a matter of three games. I mean, their best player has gone to the bench. They have no idea how to cover. They keep throwing one guy at LeBron the entire series, and then he has systematically destroyed them. But is this going to cost Dwayne Casey his job after winning the East in the regular season?
Yeah, I don't think it should cost him his job. But, I mean, he's been thoroughly outcoached in this series. I think that's fairly obvious.
On LeBron!
But you know what? It's just incredible, though, the stranglehold that LeBron has on the Toronto Raptors. You know, I think they're 1-10 in their last 11 games in Cleveland. And, by the way, the one game that they won was last year's regular season finale when Kyrie Irving didn't play, LeBron didn't play in that game, so how much stock do you really want to put in it? And I'm telling you, there is zero fear factor right now for the Cavaliers. When they look across and see the Toronto Raptors, there is no fear in them. They know they have their number. They know they're better. They're better coached. The matchups have been in Ty Lue's favor. They've been Jonas Valanciunas, who had 20-20 in game one, got shut down in the fourth quarter and in overtime by Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson, who barely played until game seven of the first round. He played, I think, 23 minutes in the first six games of that series, and all of a sudden he's coming in and absolutely shutting down the biggest body that Toronto has in the middle of their offense and in the middle of their defense. But now Ty Lue, who is criticized for leaving Kevin Love in as the five, a position where he's not really comfortable playing compared to where he is at the four, Kevin Love all of a sudden figured it out. He's back cutting Jonas Valanciunas to death. Valanciunas barely played in the fourth quarter for Toronto in game three because Kevin Love was torching him. So I don't think it's going to cost, or nor should it cost, Dwayne Casey his job. He won 59 games. They're a really good basketball team. But some teams just don't match up very well with others, and this is a clear-cut case of a psychological, mental, and frankly physical edge that Cleveland has over Toronto right now.
Talking with ESPN play-by-play voice and extremely good friend of the show, Mr. Adam Amin. He was on the game-winning call Saturday night, Cavs-Toronto. So you get a chance, and you've had the Cavs a lot here in this postseason. You get a chance to sit right there, you know, by the coaches, by the players. You can hear a lot of what goes on. There's this narrative that Ty Lue is just a puppet and that LeBron James is the coach, is the GM, pulls all the strings. From your vantage point, is that valid, or does Ty Lue not get the credit that he might deserve?
Listen, going to Cleveland, especially in the first round after they had lost game one and everybody was panicking, after, you know, Victor Oladipo had a great game, and, you know, LeBron was very passive early in the series. I go to Cleveland, and I'm doing some radio hits with our friends out there, and all of them are saying, oh, Ty Lue doesn't know what he's doing. Ty Lue doesn't know how to coach. And I'm going, guys, you really believe that? Because, frankly, I've seen it for 2 years in the playoffs. He's really good at making adjustments. And I keep trying to defend him and being an apologist for him, perhaps, in the eyes of some people, that it's LeBron. I'm not saying LeBron doesn't have a major impact on how they approach game planning, how they approach late-game situations. Obviously, LeBron's going to have the ball, but it's also not that complicated when you have LeBron. You let the man go to work and let the offense run through him, but Ty Lue's the one who has to make the adjustments. And I like I just told you guys with the Kevin Love thing, he was criticized heavily after Game 1 when they won by 1 point in overtime. Why are you sticking with Kevin Love at the five? They're so much better with Thompson at the five and Love at the four. And he told us, because we asked him about it before Game 2, and he said, if Kevin starts making shots, which he's clearly capable of doing, I think at that point he was shooting something like 32% from the field after Game 1 of the second round. He's like, if he starts making shots at the clip that he's capable of, there's not going to be any stopping him, because now Jonas Valanciunas has to go out on the perimeter and respect Kevin Love's shooting ability. And that's what they ended up doing in Game 2. And Kevin Love backdoored him and backcut him to death. And then they had to take him out of the game because he couldn't keep up with Kevin Love. And then he wasn't being taken advantage of on the defensive end with the big body of Valanciunas. Ty Lue going to Tristan Thompson in Game 7 of the first round and him having the great performance he had. George Hill going back into the starting lineup. Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith going back to the starting lineup to have veteran shooters out there in the middle of that Indiana series. These things have all helped. I think the biggest thing is a lot of these guys just didn't execute for most of that first round because Indiana, to their credit, played an exceptional defensive series and took LeBron and a lot of those guys out of their rhythm. But they won the series. And now Ty Lue is winning the coaching matchup against a guy who's 20 years older than him and has way more experience and has been one of the great coaches in the NBA the last several years. So does Ty Lue not get enough credit? 100%. He never gets enough credit for the adjustments that he knows how to make.
I know who is coaching well. That's Brad Stevens. There's a lot of
yes.
evidence to prove that. I don't know what to do to blame for the 76ers here. Is it they just – Boston doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. The 76ers have very little playoff experience, but it certainly looks like one team isn't ready for this moment, and that's Philly.
You know, and that's what I thought might hurt them when they got to the first round. Just even in the first round, I thought that was going to be an issue, just their lack of experience and the lack of clutch gameplay that they've had. Now, I asked Brett Brown about that, and he did say, we've gotten better in that aspect over the course of the last, I'd say, month of the season. And I think that's fair. They played better in late-game situations. But again, they were playing really well for that entire 16-game winning streak. They weren't playing a ton of close games against high-level competition. So I think it is a lack of experience. Ben Simmons does not know how to make adjustments just yet, and that's fine. That's, again, understandable when you're in your first playoff series. Brett Brown hasn't coached as a head coach in the playoffs. I understand that as well. So I'm not going to blow this out of proportion and say, well, Philly's not ready or Brett Brown is a terrible coach or he should be fired. I'm not going to go that far because, frankly, I think Brett Brown is the perfect guy for a young team, but he's also a young coach in the eyes of the NBA playoffs. So I'm not going to say the process is not working or whatever. I'm not going to go that far. It's just Brad Stevens gets it. He has experience in this part of the season. He understands what this is like. And by the way, I know they're young. These are really young guns for Boston right now with Rozier and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But these are guys that, at least a couple of them, Tatum, obviously, it's his first run, but those other guys have been in the fires before. Terry Rozier played big games last year in the playoffs. Jaylen Brown played really big minutes against Cleveland in the conference finals last year. And let's not make Boston out to be a bunch of slack-jawed yokels, all right? Like, I get that they don't have Kyrie Irving. They really didn't have Gordon Hayward this season at all. And would they be more competitive in a conference finals with those guys? Yeah, of course. And I think Cleveland is going to be a prohibitive favorite in the conference finals against them, but these aren't a bunch of nobodies. Al Horford's a perennial all-star, and these are really good players, and they've got good role guys coming in off the bench. So, you know, with Brad Stevens and that lineup that's got the experience, I'm not shocked that they're playing this well.
As a guy who's been on a few airplanes, especially as of late, I can tell you're at the airport. Where are you headed? Where are you going?
So we're going to Columbia, Missouri right now. We're going to get ready for the SEC softball tournament. It'll be exciting to be back with our old crew. I'm going to see our buddy Molly McGrath this week, Dusty, as she's going to be hosting some of the sets for the SEC Now show, and that'll be very fun for us, and then we'll go back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Very, very nice. I'm guessing
How much of a chance does Boston have, Adam?
I think they have a chance to be competitive. I still think, like I said, Cleveland's going to be a prohibitive favorite in that series. I think just with the fact that they have the experience, they won in 5 last year with a lot of the a lot of the same guys that are currently playing. I think Boston's good enough, though, to win at least one, if not two, games in the series. I think it'll be more competitive than it was last year. Remember, it was a 5-game series, but 2 of those games were straight-up blowouts in Boston, nonetheless. And Boston had to have a buzzer beater to win in Cleveland last year. So I think it's going to be more competitive this year. I do think Brad Stevens does at least come into the series with an advantage. But I would still pick Cleveland to be a prohibitive favorite going into that series. I would think it'd be more competitive, though.
So long as they got LeBron James, I'm not picking against them. Last thing I've got, just being around them, you've had so many of their games, and you obviously have private conversations. What's the feeling on LeBron James being back in Cleveland next year?
I don't know why you would think that he – sorry, we have friends of ours coming across the plane here. I don't know why – you would leave, in all honesty. Now, I understand the money's not going to matter. LeBron makes $30 million a year. He's going to make $30 million next year. He makes so much money off the court, it doesn't even matter. Like, the cash isn't going to be a big issue for him. I think some of it is family, and he said it in the past, winning and family are the two biggest aspects. I don't know why you go to the West, because, you know, to be in the NBA Finals every single year, you have a much better shot at that in the East right now. Golden State is still Golden State. They're still going to have cap room to maybe go get one other free agent or a role guy. They're still going to have those, you know, their core group of Green and Durant and Curry and Thompson. I just think it's easier to get to the finals in the East right now, as good as Boston could be, as good as Philadelphia is becoming. I don't know why you'd go to the West. If you go to Philly because you think you have a great shot, I'm fine with that. But I think that's, if it's L.A., it's because of family. If it's Philly, it's because of winning. And if he stays in Cleveland, he'll be a legend for the rest of his career. And especially if he wins another championship, he'll be set for life.
Great stuff as always, man. Safe travels. And tell Molly I said hello. She's got a big day coming up, so she's got to get herself to get hitched. So you guys have fun in Columbia, man. And we'll talk again soon, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.